Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to go ahead and pick up. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Father, thank you for the reading of your word today, Lord, that it would open up our minds, our hearts, our ears to receive the engrafted, imperishable seed of the word of God today. That it would grow in our hearts and that we would grow by it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. It is so good to see all of you this morning. And those of you that are joining us online, we always like you to love, like, and share, get your Bible. And if you're anywhere near the Mount Kisco area, we would love to see you in person. Because I believe that there is something special in that physical space. But we're thankful that we can come to you right in your living room or family room or office or place of work. Some people work on Sundays. We're so glad that we could do this. All right. So today I want to talk to you about the subject of growing as a Christian. We're going to begin a little mini-series that will just be taking a fresh new look at the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians has been known as the book that tells people how to mature in Christ. The Gospels tell us the story of Jesus. They tell us what Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection mean. The epistles, those letters to the early church, those letters are designed for us to live out the gospel, to actually walk it out, and to be examples to the world. Last week, I shared with you the story out of the water, and we talked about baptism and what that meant. I don't know if anybody, did you enjoy that, having that kind of format just every now and then?
Yes.
The word coming forth in an interview fashion. If you didn't get a chance to see it, I really encourage you to see it. It was Brother Adam White's testimony. We had a picture of him, and we're calling, when we share about baptism stories, we're calling that water stories. Mm-hmm. Water stories, and out of the water is the subject of baptism. That what happens when we come out of the water. Mm-hmm. And so if you're interested in sharing your story, I would love to hear it. I'd love to hear water baptism stories, what it meant to you. As I said last week, it is the wedding band of Christianity. It literally is that commitment, that reminder that you are all in. So today, as we talk about growth, we're going to look at the entire book of Ephesians, and we're going to be looking at it through a specific lens. So rather than take verse by verse by verse and get maybe just bogged down in all the minutiae of the verses, we're going to look at it in a lens with the acronym of GROW, fresh new look at the book of Ephesians. So, as I said, the book of Ephesians, penned by the Apostle Paul, it is considered one of the main books of the prison epistles. Paul wrote this while he was in prison, and he wrote it to the Ephesian church. When we think about the audience was a very metropolitan area. Ephesus was the center of pagan worship in the Roman Empire at the time. There was, licentiousness, carnality everywhere. Sometimes we get shocked when we see things on TV or hear about things. And I got to tell you, the first century Rome was no different. It really wasn't. In fact, in some cases, it was more brutal and worse than what we see even in our modern day. But yet, at the same time, the Apostle Paul gives us direction how to live the gospel, how to grow up and mature in the things of God and literally make a difference. And one of the first things that we see in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to go ahead and start there, Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll begin right there. These lenses, if you will, that we're going to look at the book of Ephesians with is the acronym GROW. The acronym GROW. The first one stands for God's purpose. God's purpose and passion. God's purpose is revealed. God's purpose is revealed. The Apostle Paul actually refers to it. We'll see this as we walk through the chapters in these next couple of weeks. He refers to the mystery that is revealed. So God's purpose is revealed. So it starts with God. It starts with Him. G, growth, starts with God. The second letter is R, respond. How do we respond to God's purpose, God's passion? How do we respond to it? So our response, whether it's a response in faith or whether it is just a carnal response, has to do with us. Has to do with us. See, growth, and this statement, this is a good write-me-down, growth is not automatic for the Christian. It's not automatic. Just because we've accepted Christ, just because we accepted the message, maybe we even took that first step and got baptized, growing in Christ has to do with our response. Our response. In fact, the word response and the word responsibility, they're connected, aren't they, in the English language? Response, responsibility. So there is a response on our part. Growth, I'll say it again, growth is not automatic. It's not automatic. There are Christians that have been Christians for 20, 30, 40 years, and they've only grown so far. Because growth is not automatic. Growth is a choice. It's a choice. Will you respond to what God lays out in His Word? Will you adjust your life? Will you respond in faith, believing that He has your best interest at heart? Did you know when God tells us to avoid certain things, it's because He has our best interest at heart? So when we respond to Him, we're responding with a choice of, I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow in God. You might have walked with God, like I said, for many decades. But there still is a responsibility to grow. The longer that I have walked with the Lord, and sometimes God has dragged me, that's me. I'll talk about me, not you. All right? I recognize that if I'm going to grow, it is a choice. If I'm going to walk with God, it is a choice that I must make. So our response. So we're looking at the book of Ephesians. We're looking at it with these lenses. God's purpose and passion, number one. G. Number two, respond, or our response, right? Respond. How do you respond to what you read? How do you actually do the word? Because James tells us that if we're not just going to be hearers only, we've got to actually what? Put something into practice, right? There actually has to be action to what we say we believe. Otherwise, those that watch us, our family, who see us close up and personal, right? And then our neighbors, our co-workers. If we're not living the way we say we believe, what do they call us?
Hypocrites.
Hypocrites, right? Yeah. Hypocrites, or Scripture talks about halting between two opinions. My opinion of my flesh, or my opinion of the culture, or really three opinions, my opinion of what God's Word says. Yeah. Will I live and respond based on God's Word, right? Mm-hmm. The third letter in our acronym that we're looking at the book of Ephesians with these lenses specifically, so that when we read it, we're going to look for God's part in something. We're going to look for our response in something. Now we're going to look at obstacles. Obstacles to overcome. Obstacles to overcome. Let's just be real right here. Jesus never promised us flowery beds of ease.
Right.
In fact, I think if you look at what Jesus said, he said, in this world, you're going to have what?
Trouble.
Right? Mm-hmm. So trouble's going to come to every one of us. Now, sometimes it's big trouble, sometimes it's little trouble, but it's still trouble.
That's right.
How do we respond and overcome obstacles?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at the book of Ephesians again, chapter by chapter. Again, we're not going to necessarily be looking verse by verse minutia. Now, if you want to study that on your own, it's a great book. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite books in all of the Bible because of how much power is encapsulated to mature the believer. To actually take the gospel that we learned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and if you're reading the Gospels this summer, which I encourage you, you're about halfway through. Am I right, Pastor Christine?
Mm-hmm.
Should be about halfway through if you're on our reading plan, right? About halfway through the gospel reading plan. So you almost will be close to finishing the book of Mark, I believe it is. That's kind of where I am. I've had a couple times where I've had to go back and go up, and then I realized, wait a second, I was reading Luke too, you know, so that I'm filling in other dots, right? So if you don't have our reading plan, we have them available at the back. If you're watching us online and you want one, just message us by Facebook and we'll figure out a way to send you the PDF so that you can have the summer reading plan, reading the Gospels. All right, so we're overcoming obstacles. We're looking at the book of Ephesians, fresh new look, obstacles. Looking at obstacles. How do we approach them in faith? And we're going to find out when you're looking at this book with these lenses on, you're going to see how much this applies to your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very practical way to look at, okay, wait a second, is this something that I need to respond to? Is this an obstacle I need to overcome? Right? And then the last one that we're going to look at is the W. The W has to do with our witness. Because ultimately, that is the goal of God in every one of us, is that we would be shining lights to the world around us. A world that's in darkness, that we would be the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he also said, you are the light of the world through him. Why? We reflect his glory. The Apostle Paul goes on to say that in the book of 2 Corinthians. He talks about reflecting his glory. So, with that said, these are the lenses we're looking at. God's part. God's part. What did he do in order for us to mature? What did he do? What did he provide for us in order for us to grow up? Pardon me. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, praise God. So, God's part, our response, obstacles, witness. All right? God's part, response, obstacles, witness. God's part, response, obstacles, witness.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be real simple.
Yeah.
So now, you're there in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. The faithful. I like that. Grace to you, peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Right there in the first three verses, what do you see?
Jesus.
You see God's part.
Yes.
You see God doing some amazing things. Right here. Right here, just in the first three verses. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, growth is not automatic. It's a choice. But we're seeing God's part. And God's done all the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
Just look. He's done all the heavy lifting. Blessed be the God and Father, verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him, chosen before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. That's one of my favorite verses right there in this little chapter. There's so much rich things right here. But I just thought, I like verse 6. You know, when he says that we were chosen in him, that he loves us that much. Right there when he says that having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. He loves us. He chose us. He's blessed us.
Yes.
He's purchased us.
Glory, hallelujah.
This is all God's doing.
Yes.
He's doing this, right?
Yes.
He's purchased us. He's blessed us. He's chosen us. He loves us.
Yes.
And he says this in verse 6, and the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Accepted. He's purchased us. He's blessed us. He chose us. Again, God's doing all the heavy lifting here, right? He loved us.
Mm-hmm.
He accepted us.
Yes.
Wow. Have you ever felt unloved? Unchosen? Have you ever felt unblessed? I'm just reminding you of some things of what God did. Because when you start to get down, you should kind of just read these couple verses.
Mm-hmm.
And remind yourself, God's part is pretty huge.
Yes.
He does the heavy lifting,
mm-hmm.
and he says, basically, you're accepted. This is God's part of the equation of us to grow. Now, you say, but Pastor, you said that growth is not automatic. He said he predestined us.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little side note. The reason why I'm not a Calvinist is that this is all speaking of what Jesus has done for everyone.
Yes.
Not everyone will experience this.
Yes, that's right.
Because there's still a choice.
Yes.
And we're going to see that
mm-hmm.
very clearly as you move on. And then he goes on to say, in him, verse 7, we have redemption. Redemption through what? His blood? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. I want you to think about that for a second. He abounds things to you. That means God just overloads you. He just overloads you. And the problem with us is most of the time the enemy wants to be the one who is always accusing you and keeping you away from understanding how huge God's part was and is. How much he's done for us.
Amen.
Because the enemy tries to beat you up and say, well, I don't feel any of that. It's not about your feeling. It's about what you've accepted by faith as being a Christian. Now, the reality of how you respond to all these things, that's where the rubber meets the road. Will you continue to respond to this? And I would submit to you, brothers and sisters, our response is a direct relationship on how we're experiencing all these blessings that we just read. Our response to it. Okay. Got quiet.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Jesus.
All right, but this is good. This is really good.
Yes.
Verse 8, which he made abound toward us in wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Folks, this is New Testament Christianity.
Yes.
Old Testament Christianity points to God's ways are higher than our ways and we'll never know anything. The Apostle Paul says the mystery has been revealed.
Hallelujah.
And you're not stumbling in the dark.
That's right.
Jesus came and did the heavy lifting.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
He did the heavy lifting in this relationship that we have with him. Praise God. And it says here, it was his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him, glory to God. Verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him, which works all things according to the counsel of his will. Glory to God. That's his will. His will is the truth. Whether or not we're living at that, that's a different story. Because again, our response to what he has done. And you say, well, Pastor, I just believe that if God wants it, it'll be.
No.
Well, there's a lot of things God wants that aren't. And that's just the way it works. God wants believers to walk in his fullness.
Yes.
God wants believers to be able.
Yes, thank you.
Pardon
me.
God wants believers to be able to rise above circumstances, despite what things are being thrown at them, and to still walk with that power and that grace inside. Coming out, it becomes a witness for all those around. So that it is his will. And then, notice what it says here. This is where things kind of change. That's all God's part. And then we see verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. Right here shows me that there's a response. He's commending the Ephesian church. He's saying, those that were first to trust in him. In other words, their trust, their act of faith, actually was their response to all of the goodness of God. He says, those who were first to trust. Those who were first to trust, right?
That's right.
And he goes on, he says, trusted in Christ would be the praise of his glory. The praise of his glory. Verse 13, in him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in which also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Glory to God. This is a response to what God has done.
Yes.
A response. I'm going to let that sink in just for a second. Again, we're looking at Ephesians with these lenses. God's part, our response, obstacles, and a witness to the world. Right? God's response. I mean, God's thing. God's plan, his purpose. Our response, overcoming obstacles, and a witness, making us witnesses. Again, maturing us in Christ. All right. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a purchased possession. I love that phrase, purchased possession. He owns me. He owns me. He owns me.
Hallelujah.
Because I gave him that right to own me. I responded by accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I responded to him because of how good he is. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And it says here, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? Verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard your faith, that's again the people's response in the Lord Jesus, and what? Your love for all the saints. Do not cease to give thanks. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's a great prayer. You can pray for yourself, pray for the loved ones. That's a prayer full of power. That's a prayer that says, I'm going to keep praying that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would know him better. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, would be opened up.
Jesus, thank
you. Glory.
Jesus, thank you.
That you would see. What was the last fall when we had our retreat? We sang, open my eyes, right? That I might see Jesus. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see Jesus. That we would see him clearly. That we would know him, right? That we would know him, that we would find freedom, that we would discover purpose and make a difference. Do you see how this corresponds? Just connect the dots with me. That when we respond to God's part, we can actually mature no matter what stage we are at with our walk with God. If you just started out with your walk with God, you can jump right in here. You can jump right in here. If you've been walking with God for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, it doesn't matter. You can jump right in here and still grow. And still grow. You know, recently my wife and I, we took a walk with another family member in a nature preserve. And in this nature preserve, there were some huge trees. And those trees are still growing. And they're probably a couple hundred years old. They're still growing. Why? They're still growing. They're still receiving nutrients from the soil. They're still growing. And the Christians among us who have known the Lord for a long time, they should be still growing.
Yes, that's right.
Because nobody wants to see a tree that just starts to stagnate and starts to not grow, right? We need to still grow. We need to still grow. Last year, I was really adjusted by the Lord that I needed to grow in knowledge, even though I've been to two Bible schools, even though I have two degrees, even though I've been in the ministry for next spring, will make 40 years, can't believe it. I'm kind of blown away by that, and I just don't think that's possible. But I entered the ministry when I was 20 years old, and the end of this year, you do the math. And I'm like, no, that can't be. That can't be. That can't be. It was just yesterday, right? And, of course, my face and the gray mustache kind of remind me that, no, that is true. That is true. But what the Lord began to deal with me really intensely, internally, was I need to be reading more.
Oh,
So last year I went on a reading tear, and I continued on a little bit, not quite as intense, but definitely keeping reading and growing in ministerial things, in the Word, in leadership, in those things. And so I've read books. I have continued to read books. I get them on audiobook. I listen to them when I'm at work, when I'm allowed to, because there are certain times at work that I'm allowed to, and I listen to them, and I listen to them again and again and again. And when something speaks to me, I listen to it again. And then when we meet with our leaders, I try to give them some of the things that I've learned. What am I doing? I'm growing. It's a choice. It's a choice to grow. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. And so as we keep looking at these verses and this book, Ephesians, through that lens of God's part, my response, obstacles that I need to overcome, and my witness, right? My witness. What does that all equal? That equals maturity.
Yes.
Maturity. Yeah. Just like the trees that we noticed and we're looking at and seeing these beautiful trees providing shade and coolness. You know, we're looking at those and they're years and years old. They're still growing. Just like that, we should be that way for other believers, providing shade for them when maybe they're having a hard time in an area. We can provide shade. We can provide help. Come on, you getting the visual there?
Hallelujah.
Come on, some
yes.
of you are tracking yes. here. That's good. That's good. All right, keep going. All right, so we continue to realize how awesome our God is,
yes.
that and what He has given us. What He has given us in Christ is so absolutely amazing.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. And it's powerful when we can live this out. We can live this out. And then it says this, verse 19, or actually let's pick up back at verse 18. And the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Because He's calling all of us to maturity, right? That are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. I mean, God, the Apostle Paul is using some words here. It's not just power, it's mighty power. It's not just, you know, riches, it's exceeding riches.
Yes.
He's emphasizing how monumental this gospel and living this gospel truth out, how much God has done for us. And then he goes on to say in verse 20, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the heavenly, in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And it just doesn't stop. What God has done for us, it doesn't stop. And we need to be reminded of this. And if you're not reminded of it today, Pastor Doug's reminding you. God's part's pretty amazing. And then he says, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Oh, the church is mentioned there. How about that?
Yes.
I think we're going to see that in a couple more verses and chapters. We're going to see how important the called out ones, those who gather together to find strength, to find community, to find purpose, to grow, to live out the gospel. Our response has to do a lot with that. Which, he says here, the church, verse 23, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Oh my goodness. that kind of brings special light to Matthew 18 and 19 when it talks about if any two of you agree as touching anything where two or three are gathered in my name. What is that? The fullness of Christ comes. The fullness of Christ comes. When we are gathered in his name, it is not just, oh, there's me a Christian, you a Christian. Oh, he's there. He comes. No. It's exponential. Because of all of this that God did, when you walk on the scene, you've got the greater one walking on the scene. And if my sister has the greater one walking on the scene, oh my goodness, devil has no chance. No chance. Because if one would put 1,000 to flight in the Old Testament, how much more would two put 10,000 to flight? It's exponential. So when God shows up in you and in me and we're together, that's why the enemy fights against local churches. That's why he fights. Why? Because it's a power source for the gospel and for maturing the believer. It's a power source. It is where God is doing amazing work on the inside of people. And you say, yeah, but Pastor, I was hurt in this church. And you always have an opportunity to get hurt when you're with people. Any people. Your family, not your family, your coworkers, your neighbors. Am I right? Because we human beings, we carry this thing called flesh around. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa. Yeah, we all. Yeah, exactly. Flesh. And what I believe the Apostle Paul is pointing at here, under the direction of the Holy Ghost, is maturing in Christ. Realizing how good God has given everything, but now he's bringing in that church, that called out one. He's bringing in, oh, wait a second, his body. His body that fills everything. Somebody asked Brother Kennedy Hagin, they asked him, what's God doing in the earth today? What's he doing in the earth today? And Brother Kennedy Hagin, he said, local church. Local church. That's what he's doing. Local church. Why? Because that's where the majority of us have found Christ. The majority of us got discipled. Somebody was patient with us. Somebody had to walk in love with us. We had to walk in love with somebody else. And it was a place to grow. And that's what my heart is for our church. A place to grow. And no matter what stage in your walk, God desires for you to grow. He desires for you to grow. So that was chapter 1 of Ephesians, wasn't it? Wow, I'm pretty sure that we haven't even finished chapter 1. You know, we still got a ways to go. We still got a ways to go, but I feel like I can stop right here. I you know, again, if you want to read this on your own, you can actually look at these verses, God's part, right? Our response. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to like walk through these passages of the book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at these passages with that thought. God's part, our response, obstacles that we may need to overcome. We're going to find out that flesh is probably one of them. Yeah. We're going to find out it's not always the big bad devil attacking us. Sometimes it's this thing that we carry around with us. Right? Sometimes it's our own dumb decisions. Can't blame it on the devil. Right? And we're not going to blame it on God and say, well, God must have wanted that to happen. No, sometimes we made the choice. And that's going to be, as we walk through this, you're going to see that. So, what's that? We're overcoming. That's right. We're going to overcome obstacles. And we overcome the flesh. We're going to find that out. That there's an answer. God's Word has answers. This is,
amen.
When you read all of God's part, we find out.
Yes.
We have the victory.
Yes.
We have the victory. There is a way to mature in God and literally rise above the circumstances, rise above the junk in our culture, rise above all of that.
Yes.
Right? And be that witness to the world that they see Him.
Yes.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good? Praise God. I'm excited. I'm excited about this. I hope you get excited. Bring your Bible. Get a Bible. If you don't have one, we'll help you get one. New King James Version is what we're using. Bring a notebook, because I'm telling you, God will reveal some things to you in these next couple of weeks as we walk through this book to grow us up in Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, God, that it does have the power to change us, to change the way we think, the way we respond, the way we act, even the way we think. Lord, I thank You, You're changing us. We're growing. I thank You, God, that every person under the sound of my voice and the people who may be watching online, Father, with a heart of intention to respond to You, I thank You that growth will come as we make those steps of faith. We thank You for it. We thank You for ministering to these people today. And Father, right now I pray, God, for those that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that may not know Him. And Lord, I thank You that many years ago, You revealed Yourself to me as a teenage young man. And I received You into my heart. And I decided to make You Lord of my life. Lord of my life. That You would call the shots. And Father, I thank You for that decision that I made back in 1980. Lord, and it has changed the trajectory and the destiny that You have for me. And so, Father, I pray, God, that if there's somebody that doesn't know You in this place, or somebody out there who's watching that doesn't know You, Father, I pray that they would come to know You in the name of Jesus. Right now, we're just going to pray a simple prayer. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, it's real simple. We trust the message that Jesus came to die for your sins. He's the Son of God, and He was raised from the dead. We trust that message, and we believe it. And so when we respond, we receive His forgiveness, and we make Him the Lord of our life. And right now, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Let's all just pray this simple prayer together. I'm going to start, and you can repeat. Say, Father God, I come before You in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead, and I receive His forgiveness right now. And I choose Jesus as my Lord and Savior this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer as a first time or as an act of recommitment, we'd like to know about it. We'd like to help you in your journey and your walk with God. And I believe God has great things in store for you as you allow His Word to come into your heart and change you. If you need special prayer for anything today, I'm going to be available. If you need prayer for healing, prayer of agreement, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We want to give you that opportunity today. And that'll be as soon as we dismiss. I'll be available down front for anybody who may need special prayer. But let's do this. Let's stand right now, and let's have our sending out verse. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. We'll see you next time.